Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell speaking at the Economic Club of Chicago today, outlining the impact tariffs will have on the U.S. economy, he says, and federal policy goals to keep inflation down and job market stability.
Without price stability, we cannot achieve the long periods of strong labor market conditions that benefit all Americans.
Stocks plunging on that economic outlook. In California, Governor Gavin Newsom filing a lawsuit challenging President Trump's authority to impose tariffs, saying the use of Emergency Powers Act is unconstitutional. Gavin Newsom says the Golden State's agricultural will get hurt. Federal Judge James Boasberg has found probable cause that the Trump administration acted in contempt of court when officials last month defied his order to turn around those planes carrying alleged Venezuelan gang members en route to El Salvador. Boasberg's opinion states the Trump administration has a week to comply with the order or face declarations and depositions. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A recent study by LendingTree found that Wisconsin is one of the cheapest states to raise a child, even though that cost is still growing. According to the study, the average cost of raising a child for 18 years in Wisconsin is over $218,000. That ranks the state 45th in the country and well below the national average of nearly $298,000. That national average has also grown by over 25% in the last 2 years. Hawaii was the most expensive state and Mississippi was the least expensive. Wisconsin's seasonal utility moratorium officially ended on Tuesday. Under state law, utility companies are prohibited from shutting off service during the winter months for non-payment. With the moratorium ended, residents who were not able to pay their utility bills over the winter could now see their service shut off until they pay the overdue bills or enter into a payment plan with their utility company. Officials are also warning that federal funding cuts for low-income energy programs could put the moratorium and other programs at risk next year. The Richard I. Bong Veterans Historical Center in Superior officially has a new source of energy. On Tuesday, the organization held a ribbon-cutting ceremony for the building's new 20-kilowatt solar array. Construction on the $5,000 solar energy project began in November and began producing power for the building in January. It was funded by donations and a solar good grant that the organization received in the fall of 2023. Officials say the solar array is just phase one of their plans and could cover 80% of their energy needs. A Chetek man accused of making a terrorist threat against the Barron County Sheriff's Department has been found guilty by a jury. According to court documents, 35-year-old Matthew Gade was charged over a year ago after a detective received a message from him saying if the county touched his child support check, he would, quote, make world news. He also allegedly had a previous court record of making comments about killing law enforcement officers. He was found guilty in a one-day trial on Monday and is scheduled for sentencing in June. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers end their losing streak. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers shut out the Tigers 5-0, ending a three-game losing streak. Reese Hoskins smacked a fastball to deep center field for his first home run of the season.
Yeah, breaking the ice, there's maybe something to be said for that. Yeah, it's just nice to get rewarded for some quality at-bats.
NBA, the Bucks' Damian Lillard, slowly making progress from that blood clot in his right leg. Could he be back for the playoffs? Doc Rivers.
Well, I mean, we're hopeful, like we're just following the protocols, and so we'll see, but we don't know yet.
Badgers head football coach Luke Fickell on the search for a new left tackle after losing Kevin Haywood in spring practice to a torn ACL, out for the year.
Now we got to have to figure out how we're going to manage some of that and move some guys around and expect some other guys to step up, whether it's Leighton Nelson and Emerson Mandel. And guys like that got to step in.
That's Luke Fickell with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Sunny, seasonal, calm, and comfortable today with high temperatures making it to the mid-50s. We start to get a little breezy tonight with a few more clouds filtering in, and tomorrow, windier and warmer. High temperatures cap 60 degrees with showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 50 degrees at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabe, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Tomorrow on the Earl Ingram Show, we'll be giving a cheerful farewell to Dr. Omar, the pharmacist. It's been an amazing journey, but this is not the end. He'll still be involved in my podcast down the line.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
What's going on, everybody? Happy hump day. It is the middle of the week. I hope the sun is shining just as beautifully where you are as it is here in southeastern Wisconsin. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're all about real news and great conversation, even if the news might be a little made up. So I'm going to start there today. We've been handling so much deep, serious stuff, and we'll get to some of that, of course, today. But wanted to begin on a bit of a lighter note, question mark. So did you hear about Blue Origin? This is Jeff Bezos's penis rocket company. Sent a bunch of women into outer space for a total of, I don't know, like 4 minutes. They were in space, I guess. And then they came back. Total flight time, 11 minutes. And this has gotten a lot, I'll just say a lot of media attention, which seems to be the point here. But I wanted to ask you all, do you think this is as stupid as I think it is? 855-752-4842. And I'm going to tell you why I think it's stupid as we discuss. But to set the stage, it was the first all-female American spaceflight since the Soviet Union sent a female cosmonaut into space on a solo trip in 1963. So the only other time it's been an all-female crew was when it was a one-female crew back in 63. And that was a Soviet cosmonaut. Remember that word, cosmonaut? In any case, here's who went on this little trip. Because, why? Okay. Here are the people that were on the trip. Gail King, you know, Oprah's BFF, Gail King, who also is a journalist and a lovely person. I like Gail, not opposed to Gail, but, you know, she's a media personality. Gail King, not an astronaut or a pilot or, I don't know, someone that knows something about rocket propulsion or even has a STEM-related degree. Okay, you're getting where I'm going with this. Okay, Gail King, whom I'll just give this additional little bit, a wee bit of commentary. Of all of the people who are not in a STEM-related science that went on this little flight, I'd say Gail King was probably like the least offensive of the bunch. So Gayle King, next up, Carrie Flynn, a film producer. Okay, who cares? Lauren Sanchez, who's Jeff Bezos's fiance. That's her qualification to be on the first all-female space flight since 1963. Oh, I'm going to marry the billionaire guy that owns the penis rocket company. That's how I go to space, because that's my end. Those are my creds. And last but not least, Katy Perry, who sang during said space flight. I'm not going to play you any of this. There's audio of the women like screaming as they descended. It's silliness. Now, there were two women who actually do have STEM credentials and one who actually is an aerospace engineer. Her name is Aisha Bowe. So thumbs up for Aisha Bowe, an actual aerospace engineer. Like, that's freaking awesome. And the other woman that has a STEM degree is a civil rights activist, and her name is Amanda Nguyen. So two women with some sort of STEM background. This was all kind of pitched as this female empowerment. I don't know. It's supposedly promoting girls in the STEM fields, which is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Before we even knew the acronym STEM, I had a STEM-related degree. That's my econ stuff. But I just thought this was so lame. 855-752-4842. Did you think this was stupid? Did you even hear about it? It seemed so much like a marketing ploy that any of the coolness that I could have potentially experienced from something like this was gone. Like, it wasn't cool to me at all whatsoever. And the two women that had these STEM degrees, by the way, the actual aerospace engineer and the woman who's a civil rights activist who has a STEM degree background, were sort of like the sideshow almost. Everybody's, oh, Oprah's crying. Like, Oprah was freaking there watching from the ground, along with Kris Jenner and Orlando Bloom. Who cares? Oh, and they used a sportscaster to do the play-by-play of this whole thing. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. Here, Bezos has said that it's his generation's job to, quote, build a road to space so that future generations can unleash their creativity. I mean, it just seemed like a big social media sort of influencer event that happened to include a very short space flight. Now, just for the particulars here, the place that they were going to was basically just to get past this line. It's a demarcation some 62 miles from the Earth's surface. I think it's called the Kármán line. I might be pronouncing that wrong, but once you cross that, you're considered to be in space. So that's where they went. They were in zero gravity for about 7 minutes, and then they came back. Whole 11 minutes. You too, for the bargain basement price of $150,000, can have your 4 minutes in space, courtesy of Jeff Bezos's penis rocket company. Capitalism wrapped up as feminism? I just don't get it. Somebody help me out here. I'm glad we've got Anne from Chippewa Falls. Thank goodness. Anne, am I just a cynic, or was this as stupid to you as it was to me?
I think it was stupid. Not a good time to do this. All it shows is we have entitled white women, and some weren't white, obviously.
Right.
But isn't this considered DEI? I can't believe Trump wasn't all on this.
I mean, no kidding, Anne.
It's serious.
Absolutely. Like, Lauren Sanchez. Aisha, again, I want to get her name right. Aisha Bowe, a black woman. Gayle King, a black woman. Where was the screaming about DEI? Again, Aisha Bo, a black woman, the only one with an aerospace engineering degree. I don't get it. Thanks so much for calling, and I just thought it was such a waste of, I don't know, media headlines, media attention, our attention. So I had to, of course, pay it more attention and talk to you all about it. But I think, you know, when we place this in the context of Anne's question, which she was making both, I think, as a glib dig on Trump, but also with a degree of seriousness. When we talk about DEI, when Trump attacks DEI, which is the modern day N-word, right, at least when used by Trump and MAGAs, this stuff, stunts like this, corporatizing DEI programming doesn't forward the cause of equity or equality one bit. There wasn't any mention, for example, in this whole coverage of Katherine Johnson, who was a black, obviously female mathematician whose calculations were really what got John Glenn into space. She's the main character in the movie and book Hidden Figures, which if you haven't read the book, please go read the book or at least watch the film. They didn't mention Valentina Tereshkova by name or give her much cred. By the way, she was the Russian cosmonaut who did this on her own the first time in 1963. And by the way, she orbited Earth 48 times by herself. Wow. Or Mae Jemison, who is the first black woman ever in space. Or Kalpana Chawla, who is an Indian-born astronaut who flew two NASA missions and died aboard Columbia. So let's say no to Jeff Bezos. Maybe buy a little bit less on Amazon this week. Maybe go to your local retailer, the mom and pop down the street. Maybe we just buy a little local. I love my Prime membership just as much as anybody. It's so convenient. That's the hook. But my big point here is there are important and accurate criticisms of DEI. One of them isn't it keeps white guys from getting the jobs that they so richly deserve. That's not a thing. There's no shortage of white guys in high-paying, important positions. There's no shortage of white dudes in STEM. But using DEI, using feminism as a capitalistic PR strategy, using DEI that way and then scrubbing it out of your corporate mission, vision, and value statement when it gets inconvenient is disgusting to me. Jeff Bezos, you're no feminist. Not now, not ever. If you want to get your 2 cents, nickel, dime, or quarter in, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. My name's Maggie Dawn. It's Hump Day Wednesday. Keep it locked. We'll be back with more after these brief messages.
Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on Air.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back, everybody. 855-752-4842 was the Blue Origin all-female space flight publicity stunt as stupid to you as it is to me? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I have got one of my fabulous female team members with me every day here on the show. Her name's Jamie. She helps me out with Ask Maggie every Friday at, when do we do that? 3 o'clock on Fridays, which is good. She pointed out to me, she's been watching the text lines, that basically all the men on the text lines think I'm being a cynic and raining on the fun parade. And all the women on the text line think it was totally ridiculous and stupid. I'm just going to point these. They never mentioned, at least in the coverage I've seen, they never mentioned, again, Katherine Johnson, who's the black mathematician without whom John Glenn wouldn't have gotten to outer space. They didn't mention or lean into Mae Jemison, the first black woman in space. They didn't give any shout out to Kalpana Chawla, who died on Columbia and was an Indian-born astronaut who flew two NASA missions. They didn't even mention Sally Ride, the first woman to go into outer space from the United States in 1983. Took us 20 more years than it did the Soviet Union to get a woman in space. Extrapolate what you'd like from that. Jennifer from Romeoville, she agrees with me, folks. Thank you, Jennifer. She says this: "Hi, Maggie. Oh my gosh, I felt the same way about the people on what I am now calling influencers in space stunt. Completely not a statement of feminism, but yet another statement of capitalistic clown shows. No kidding." TJ from Oshkosh says this: "The spaceship PR stunt is nothing but a distraction from the constitutional crisis we are currently in. Mr. Garcia needs to be returned." Absolutely. I want to get Nancy from Wausau in here in just one second. I wanted to point also this out. Lauren Sanchez, this is Bezos's fiance. She had one of her favorite fashion designers design their suits for their mission, if you can believe that. Because 11 minutes, you know, you gotta have a fashionable spacesuit for that. I mean, stupid. Nancy from Wausau, my friend, you are up next. What say you?
Well, thank you for having me talk. You know, it definitely didn't say anything about STEM until they were called out on it. Because, you know, if they would have been doing this for the little girls out in the audience that need to know this, to go into this kind of, they would have had some small girls there. This was nothing but a big publicity stunt.
100%, Nancy. Here's what I want to see. I want to see structural change, not ridiculous, already extremely wealthy, already with a huge platform of influencer women. But like images of that don't advance the structural changes. We need to see actual empowerment of women, and especially women of color. It was gross to me on a whole bunch of levels. Tom from Sun Prairie, these space trips should be carbon taxed. Hell yeah, my man. What a good gosh darn idea that is. I'm going to second that, my friend. Cindy from Wausau, all this was Jeff Bezos' version of a Six Flags America ride. Yes, apparently if you're got 150K lying around burning a hole in your pocket, again, you too can get into space. Here's what, and we're going to talk about Mr. Kilmar Abrego Garcia more. I don't know if I'm going to get back to it today. I have been spending an incredible amount of time on it. I think it poses one of the greatest threats. It is an embodiment of Donald Trump not caring about anyone's civil rights and their willingness to lie about everything. Why don't they just do the right thing here? They admit it was a mistake. Why? Because defying the courts, spitting in the face of due process rights is the point. That is the point. How far can we push executive branch authority? How much like a king can we make this man? Can we laugh in the face of the Supreme Court? Who do you call? Who do you call when someone you love gets disappeared? It ain't the courts. It ain't the courts. So yeah, this kind of baloney is distracting from the fact that our president is trashing our Constitution on a daily basis. It's a distraction. It's also a distraction from the fact that the Fed chief, just about, I don't know, an hour ago, hour and a half ago, Federal Reserve Chair Jerome H. Powell said approximately hour and a half ago that Donald Trump's tariffs are, quote, highly likely to spur a rise in inflation, in remarks to the Economic Club of Chicago. He said that the Fed's ability to avoid inflation depends on how much tariffs end up affecting the economy broadly and how long it takes trade policy to pass through to prices. We're not even seeing any of that yet. None of it. Hasn't hit the price. And yet we're still seeing prices creeping up. There's been inventory stockpiling. Consumers have been gobbling up goods that they know are going to be hit by these tariffs. So yeah, not talking about the fact that the average American family is going to spend somewhere, it's going to cost them somewhere in the ballpark of $4,000 more. We're not talking about the fact that tariffs are sales taxes, Trump's tariff terror of sales taxes that hurt working people more than they do the billionaires that just got sent the penis rocket into space. They don't care if their groceries cost $150 more a month. They don't even buy their own groceries. It distracts us from the fact that the House of Representatives, the Republicans, the MAGAs there, want to vote to prevent Congress from repealing Trump's tariffs. They literally want to hand more of their power away. Distracts us from the fact that House Republicans just voted to strike down an overdraft limit so your banks can rob you more. We, here on the Civic Media Radio Network and on this program, we're going to pay attention to the important things. We got a great guest coming up next, the executive director of Fair Wisconsin. Don't go anywhere. We're going to talk about trans rights being human rights next.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Lawmakers are talking about some of the most aggressive reforms in energy legislation the state's seen in a while. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. And why is agriculture paying attention to it? Because farmland preservation is a part of the conversation and taking a new approach to wind and solar siting. State Representative Travis Tranel chairs the Assembly Agriculture Committee and explains why he's planning for the future with this legislation.
Simply put, the way we did it, we said, if you're going to build this stuff on the best land, for every 1 acre for these large projects that you're going to use, you have to buy an agriculture conservation easement on 4 other acres. So essentially what you're doing is you're protecting 80% of the best farmland in the state. And if you go down to maybe some of the land that's not the greatest but still pretty darn good, we lowered the ratio from 4-to-1 to 2-to-1.
State Representative Travis Tranel talking about the Wisconsin Energy Reform Act of 2025. He's hoping the farmland preservation provision within that legislation around utilities will hopefully allow utilities to site renewable energy projects only with approval from the Wisconsin Public Service Commission.
With over 60 years of experience in the auction business, Steffes Group is the trusted source for buying high-quality equipment. From farm and construction equipment to transportation and land, Steffes Group Auctions features a diverse selection of assets for whatever your needs may be. Bid with confidence, knowing that Steffes Group's team of professionals prioritizes honesty, integrity, and outstanding service. Visit steffesgroup.com to view our upcoming auctions and start bidding on the equipment you need today. That's steffesgroup.com, S-T-E-F-F-E-S, group.com.
It was announced this week the Wisconsin Cranberry Board has invested more than $377,000 in 2025 grant funding. That follows a strong 2024 harvest of 6.1 million barrels. That means Wisconsin's remained the national leader in cranberry production for the 30th consecutive year. More in a moment.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Another quick reminder, Alice in Dairyland finale tickets are available online now. Crawford County hosting the big event for the first time, May 15th through the 17th. You can learn more about the finale details and get those tickets online, aliceindairyland.com. I'm PM Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Sunny, seasonal, calm, and comfortable today, with high temperatures making it to the mid-50s. We start to get a little breezy tonight with a few more clouds filtering in, and tomorrow, windier and warmer. High temperatures cap 60 degrees with showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 50 degrees at our studios.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. Sure, you still presume innocent, but since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the end cash bail, because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabba, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, legal issues continue surrounding the man deported to El Salvador. Jim Santel will join us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
I'm coming out.
just want to listen to the rest of the song, don't you? We're coming out. And we're going to be supporting the rights of the LGBTQIA community. I got a great guest to remind us that trans rights and the rights of the LGBTQIA community are human rights and the rights of the people that you may be most afraid of if you don't know any trans folks. Whether or not you defend those rights, that defines your rights as an individual. So happy to be joined by Abigail Swetz. She is the executive director of Fair Wisconsin, which advocates for equality under the law, especially in places like employment and housing for members of the LGBTQIA community. Thanks so much for all you do, Abigail, and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for that. Thank you. I'll take it. We don't get that sometimes.
Yes, those in the trenches doing the hard work. There's more complaints probably than thanks.
But then you know you're doing something right if people are complaining.
That's right. First of all, tell everybody what Fair Wisconsin is, what you advocate for, and where they can find your organization, because I know you've got a big event coming up on May 7th.
Oh, well, thank you for asking. So Fair Wisconsin is Wisconsin's only statewide LGBTQ+ civil rights and political advocacy organization. We do so much work during elections to make sure that pro-equality leaders are elected. We do so much work once they're in office to make sure they are doing the right thing by our community. And we do a lot of work to educate the public about the issues that matter most to our community and who we are as identities. So our website is fairwisconsin.com, not difficult to find. And if you go to our events page, you'll see that on May 7th, we're holding an Equality Day at the Capitol. It is a really exciting day of advocacy. You come in the morning, you eat yummy free food, you learn about some of the issues and identities that are most important to understand when it comes to our community and our needs. And then we do all the work to set up a free lunch for you, followed by meetings with your particular legislators about the things that matter most to you. So we give you the tools to make sure that you're able to advocate effectively in the morning, and then you go do it in the afternoon. Cap it all off with a beautiful picture outside the beautiful Wisconsin State Capitol.
That's amazing. Folks, we'll put information about that rally on our show notes for today. You can find those if you listen to us on Spotify or Apple Pods, or you can just go to civicmedia.us/shows. We got all the great information we're going to talk about with Abigail is going to be there for you to reference. Abigail, I wanted you to share with us a little bit of the legacy of Wisconsin's proud history of being the first state to ratify the 19th Amendment, giving women the constitutional protection of our voting franchise, of being one of the nation's leaders in labor rights and organizing. Though, of course, Scott Walker, took a great big poo on all that back then. But that we have had here, first state that had workers' compensation, that we have been a leader in so many ways trying to solidify into our laws here in the state of Wisconsin our shared value that every human has certain unalienable rights, that all people deserve dignity and to have those rights protected. And we also led the country when it came to discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. Tell us a little bit about that proud history as well.
That is absolutely true. In 1982, our non-discrimination law in Wisconsin was signed to include sexual orientation. We were the first state. We were called the gay rights state at the time. And that, by the way, was signed into law by a Republican governor. That also means that our non-discrimination law is a little old. It's turning 43. I know, because I am also turning 43 in about 2 weeks, and I was born in 1982. So I'm as old as our non-discrimination law. And that means that now we're behind the times. We really, really, really need to update that non-discrimination law and our people non-discrimination. Anytime we are talking about non-discrimination law in Wisconsin, we need to update it to also include gender identity and gender expression, because we are sort of the odd duck in terms of we have protections for sexual orientations. Most states that have that also have protections for gender identity and gender expression. And now we're in this weird middle area. So we really need to update that. Non-discrimination statute. And the good news is that there is a bill being circulated for co-sponsorship that would do that, that was introduced by the LGBTQ+ and trans and non-binary advocacy Transparent and Non-Binary Advocacy Caucus. It's a long title.
It is.
They introduced it on Trans Day of Visibility, which was March 31st. So there is work being done in that proactive space, and it's really exciting to know that even if it doesn't happen right now, we're laying the groundwork to make sure that it happens soon.
Jocasta Zamarripa was one of my broadcasting partners way back in the day. Huge fan of hers, and just want to give her some love for all the work she's done in the state legislature and now as an alderwoman for the city of Milwaukee. Tell us about what your organization focuses on in terms of issue areas. You spend a lot of time advocating for housing equity, looking at discrimination and fairness in the workplace, in public accommodations, mm-hmm. and in schools. Let's talk about housing first. What's important for people to know about how some of what I'm just going to call uninformed and incredibly divisive rhetoric can result mm-hmm. in extremely impactful, harmful discrimination in things like housing and in the workplace?
Yeah, no, it's a really great question. And I think I'll go back a little bit to what I said before, even specifically when I was talking about the Equality Day that we'll be having and the advocacy training we'll be doing. I said that we would be talking about the issues that matter most to our communities and also the identities that are within them. The thing that I think is really important for people to understand is that issues and identities are not the same thing. And so there, you know, the LGBTQ plus community incorporates so many diverse, fabulous, varied, wonderful identities. And we all also care about issues because they all impact us more acutely because we are a marginalized community. And so, you know, when people say, like, for example, trans issues, I don't know what that means because transgender people are people. They are identities. They are not issues. They're being made into one by people who are trying to use identity as a political ploy. And that's a problem. And so one of the things that we've been really doing very, very intentionally at Fair Wisconsin is trying to make sure that in the public sphere, when people are talking about things like, for example, during the campaign, things like the anti-trans attack ads, that people understood that that was the use of an identity as a weapon. And that is not okay. That, frankly, that is, I would consider, disqualifying. If you're going to try and take specifically the identity of a child and use it as a political cudgel, that should be a huge red flag for all of us who care about human rights, that you should not be someone who is elected. And I know that's actually not really what you asked me about, but so I do want to get to what you were saying.
No,
creates unsafe, right? Like, it creates a dangerous, threatening environment. And it also makes it difficult for example, March 31st was Transgender Day of Visibility. The idea is that it's a beautiful day to celebrate our incredible transgender family members. It is also right now a day that is a little scary because visibility as a trans person in this country and in this state is something that can open you up to threats. And so at that event where the LGBTQ plus caucus and the Transparent and Non-Binary Advocacy Caucus were presenting their bill package to try and do pro-equality things in the legislature, we had two incredible speakers from the trans community. One was an older trans woman and one was a younger trans man. And specifically, the younger speaker spoke about how being trans and being visible requires so much vulnerability and it shouldn't have to. And I think that's really important because how can we make sure that we are making sure that people are protected if they don't even feel the power to be visible? I think that's really, really important.
I've been talking about that very idea in a lot of different contexts recently, Abigail, that you shouldn't have to be heroically courageous every day to simply exist. That shouldn't be what right. You shouldn't have to be ever vigilant every waking moment to any possible threat because mm-hmm. of your identity. If we said this about any other group of people, the mm-hmm. outcry would be immediate, deafening, and overwhelming from both the right and the left. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, just your feedback and your differentiation between identities and issues, and trying to constantly remind people that we're talking about our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, our family members, people that we know and love, is, and one of the things that I wanted to ask you about a bit is I think sometimes people get so captured by the fear of language that we don't ask the questions that we need to be better neighbors, friends, family members, or just more informed citizens. And I really appreciate you pointing that out, because it's okay to struggle and stumble through language. I say to people all the time, if you're new to these issues or you don't know a lot, you're not disqualified from caring about them. Simply ask, right?
Yeah.
It can be incredibly empowering. I think that's how people who don't know a lot of things can become incredible allies and advocates, by asking, by being open to that, and being open to feedback that when we get it wrong and it's hurtful, to ask if you can repair that harm, ask for permission and learn. Yes.
Yeah. I would love to add that I think when you mentioned the part about if this were about any other group of people, people would be up in arms, right? Understandably. And we should be now too. And many of us are, right?
Yes.
But I'd also add that I think there is so much misinformation and frankly disinformation and straight up lies about the transgender community. And I think people are able to do that and use that to their political ugly advantage, because most people in America say that they've never met a trans person. It is very likely they have.
Correct.
And they don't know. And that's important to note, especially because if you don't know, then that might mean that there was not safety there. And so making sure that we're all working to be safe people is incredibly important. But also, just because you don't know someone doesn't mean they're not still fully human. And I don't need to know every intricacy and every detail of someone else's identity to know that they know it. And there's so much questioning of other people's identities when it comes to the way that people use our trans friends and neighbors as weapons. I just think we need to have a lot more trust that people know themselves so well.
Yes. There's so much there. We have interrogated women about their bodies, and we interrogate people who say and are willing to speak about the fact that they are trans in a way that others are not interrogated, legislated, restricted, or frankly, it's like fetishized in a way that is deeply unhealthy for our political discourse. There are complicated questions around trans care and how to go about doing it, just like there are complicated questions between a woman and her doctor, right? Like,
Those questions should be investigated by the people who need the care and the people who are giving the care. I don't need a legislature making that decision for me, and I don't need them making that decision for my trans friends or my trans kids' friends, right? There's a distinction there. And I do think that, you know, I don't need to be an expert in that, because I am an expert in other things, and I trust the experts who are experts in that.
And you just came to something as well. There has been, I think, an intent, a body of what I'm going to call BS, made up crud that looks scientific or comes from organizations that sound scientific, that is not peer reviewed, that is utter garbage, facilitates and catalyzes lies about these people in our communities that is so dangerous. One of the themes that comes up all the time these days on our show, Abigail, is I beg of people to pause, read beyond the headline, do some independent searching and thinking that is not in your own echo chamber. I want to talk about what has been happening in so many Wisconsin schools for parents that may be listening, or folks that have nieces and nephews or grandkids that are in schools that have started to strip away the outward symbols of safety, and that you are safe here no matter who you are, that all are safe in our schools. What do parents do about that? We'll continue this discussion with Abigail Swetz, the executive director of FAIR Wisconsin. We'll be back with more. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In 2024, a ballot measure to throw out Ohio's dysfunctional, politician-led redistricting process had its description rewritten by state officials to sink it. Now, Ohio officials are trying to sink two more measures they don't like, and the U.S. Supreme Court is now involved. Some background. Ohio's fair and truthful ballot measure requirements allows the state to modify a ballot measure's description to make it more accurate for voters. But can it use that authority to manipulate the process and block citizens from moving their ballot measure forward? Organizers tried for 2 years to get the language okayed to gather signatures for the Protecting Ohioans' Constitutional Rights measure, giving citizens the private right to sue the state and removing the qualified immunity that police and government officials are currently given. While organizers have acted in good faith, Federal District Court Judge Karen Nelson Moore wrote that Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost rejected the proposed amendment language 8 times and found the reasons dubious. The 3-judge panel ruled 2-1 that Ohio was restricting organizers' speech and must approve the measure's description. But April 9th, Yost appealed to Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh for an emergency stay of the Sixth Circuit's order, which Kavanaugh immediately granted despite the sketchy circumstances. We'll continue to watch this situation. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
It's fine. It's cool. If you haven't been fortunate enough to go to a Chapel Rowan concert, you might want to put it on the docket. All are welcome and safe in those spaces. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I've got a great guest with me. Her name is Abigail Swetz. She's the executive director of Fair Wisconsin that advocates for not just equality under the law, but equality in everyday lived experiences in schools, in housing, in jobs. Everywhere that the LGBTQIA community is. We've been focusing a bit on our trans family, friends, neighbors, colleagues. Abigail, you've pointed out that even if people think they haven't met a trans person, odds are they have. And the fact that they don't know that they have met a trans individual speaks to the fact that many trans people, my friends included, have expressed increasing levels of very existential fear, fear for their physical safety. And certainly, even today, with the Trump administration announcing a lawsuit against the state of Maine, fear for their rights, fear for their mental health. It is literally in the news every day. Let's talk a little bit about that, Abigail. For folks that may not be involved in LGBTQIA advocacy, but that care deeply and want to be supportive, how do we support our friends? How do we show up as an ally? What should we know about how people are doing in the community?
Yeah, thank you for asking that, because, you know, we're what, 3 months almost, not even, into this administration? And the fact is that the onslaught against LGBTQ plus rights, and very specifically against trans rights, is incredibly real. And especially in the form of these executive orders and now this lawsuit today, the cruelty is 100% the point. So is the confusion, I would say, because there is so much confusion about what is legal, what is not, what can an executive order do? Almost nothing that they say it can, like right. So many things. But also that overwhelm feeling we feel, that is also very calculated from the point of the administration. So I would just make sure that we understand that this administration is targeting our trans siblings, also our immigrant neighbors, also, frankly, even our government workers. And they are very deliberately trying to divide and overwhelm us. And we cannot let that work. We absolutely have to come together both as a community and across communities, right? Because there is so much fear. And let's be honest, this administration is attempting to govern by executive overreach. And part of making sure that that doesn't happen is, I would say, and I know this is going to sound a little weird, but I would say that continuing to live joyous, full lives as LGBTQ plus people and allied communities is a part of resisting that agenda. So I just want to make sure that I make it clear. I think fear is very understandable right now. There is a lot that is uncertain. I am also scared. I am a cisgender queer woman, and I am scared. I also think we need to remember that the LGBTQ plus community has always faced hostility. It has often come from the government, often the federal government, and we are still here. And so we are in a moment where we need to mobilize and organize, but most importantly, we need to take care of ourselves and our community. And that's going to look a little different for everyone. I have so many friends who feel like quote, they're not doing enough. And I keep telling them, living as queer humans right now is a lot. And, you know, I would love it if everyone would join me in the fight at Fair Wisconsin. It is literally my professional job to be in this fight, right? And so, of course, I'm going to show up in that capacity. It is not in everyone's capacity to be in the fight. Take care of yourself. That is an incredibly important part of resisting this onslaught. And I just want to make sure that everybody hears that from me, because I think we need that. We need to understand that and give ourselves permission to do that.
Self-care and care for others is resistance. It is the revolution. And knowing, hey, today I don't have that in me, or I feel unsafe and I need to get somewhere where I don't feel unsafe. I don't feel comfortable talking with these people. Please take care of yourselves. And I think for allies and advocates, being open to that, being aware of people's safety needs, and taking it extremely seriously is so important.
I also think it's why so many of us allies need, it's a moment for us to be stepping up, right?
Yes.
I am not trans, and I can raise my voice in a different way than someone who is trans, because they are going to be under a different kind of attack than I would. So it is my job to be a part of that conversation and to make sure that people are listening to the perspectives that need to be shared, but might not be safely shared by a certain individual.
That means, folks, if you're listening to Abigail and you feel moved, if you can, show up on May 7th at the Capitol. Check out Fair Wisconsin. You can go to fairwisconsin.com. Check out what they're doing. It also means this simple thing. If you are around people and they say ignorant, hateful, hurtful, discriminatory things, tell them to knock it off. Sit down with them. Say, hey, you know, I don't think that's right. Let's figure that out together. Let's do some Googling. We have a world of information at our fingertips. But speak up. Use your voice if you are safe, if you are comfortable doing that, and continue to caretake. We don't have a ton of time, so let's, I know my senior producer, Jamie, is listening. I'd like to have you come back as soon as you can, Abigail, because I want to talk about caretaking and safety for our children in our schools, which seem to be stripping back a lot of the things that help create safety. We have just under a minute. If you can give people, we'll put the resource that Fair Wisconsin developed that goes into all the school districts in Wisconsin and who's got policies that help protect our trans kids. But if you have other thoughts, Abigail, please shoot.
Well, I can't wait to come back because I'm actually a former middle school teacher, so this is right up my alley. But I'll just say this. Our children are listening right now, which means they are listening if we are using affirming language about the people we are speaking of today, and they are also listening if we are using the opposite. Let's make sure we're using that affirming language, because you never know who is exactly the person that you are being overheard by.
I'll second that. We'll be back with Wisconsin Representative Karen DeSanto next. Keep it locked. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, Abigail.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome from Miller's Crossing, Goodfellas, and Dumb and Dumber actor Mike Starr. Then Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller drops by to discuss the Milwaukee Film Festival. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabe, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A federal judge ruled there is probable cause the Trump administration acted in contempt of court when defying his order to turn around two planes last month carrying alleged Venezuelan gang members. ABC's Devin Dwyer has more.
What Judge Boasberg said now today, that the actions of the government at that time by sending those planes, not turning them around back in March, was a willful disregard for its order. He goes on to say, quoting Chief Justice Marshall, the first Chief Justice of the United States, that allowing this to go unheeded, it would be a solemn mockery of the Constitution itself.
The judge says the Trump administration has a week to comply with the order or prepare for depositions. Fed Chair Jerome Powell, speaking at an economic forum in Chicago today, says the tariffs are likely to raise inflation in the U.S. and have a broader impact on the economy. And California filing suit against President Trump's tariffs, saying his use of emergency powers will hurt the economy. This is ABC News.